You think the Keats Project was evil? I asked. Anything which deceives is evil, I believe. Perhaps you are more John Keats than you are willing to admit. No. The absence of poetic instinct showed otherwise, even in the midst of the most elaborate illusion. I looked at the dark outlines of shapes in the dark house. Do the AIs know that we're here? Probably. Almost surely. There is no place that I can go that the Technocore cannot trace and follow. But it was the web authorities and brigands from whom we fled, no? But you know now that it was someone, some intelligence in the Technocore, who assaulted you. Yes, but only in the web. Such violence in the core would not be tolerated. There came a noise from the street. A pigeon, I hoped. Wind blowing trash across cobblestones, perhaps. I said, how will the Technocore respond to my being here? I have no idea. Surely it must be a secret. It is. Something they consider irrelevant to humanity. I shook my head, a futile gesture in the darkness. The recreation of old Earth, the resurrection of how many human personalities as cybrids on this recreated world? AIs killing AIs? Irrelevant? I laughed, but managed to keep the laughter under control. Jesus wept, Johnny. Almost certainly. I moved to the window, not caring what sort of target I would afford anyone in the dark street below, and fumbled out a cigarette. They were damp from the afternoon's chase through the snowdrifts, but one lighted when I struck it. Johnny, earlier, when you said that the old Earth analog was complete, I said, why, for God's sake? And you said something like, that may be the case. Was that just a wise-ass comment, or did you mean something? I mean that it might indeed be for God's sake. Explain. Johnny sighed in the darkness. I don't understand the exact purpose of the Keats Project or the other old Earth analogs, but I suspect that it is part of a Technocore project going back at least 7 standard centuries to realize the ultimate intelligence. The ultimate intelligence, I said, exhaling smoke. So the Technocore is trying to... what? To build God? Yes. Why? There is no simple answer, Braun. Any more than there is no simple answer to the question of why humankind has sought God in a million guises for 10,000 generations. But with the core, the interest lies more in the quest for more efficiency, more reliable ways to handle variables. But the Technocore can draw on itself and the mega-datasphere of 200 worlds. And there still will be blanks in the predictive powers. I threw my cigarette out the window, watching the ember fall into the night. The breeze was suddenly cold. I hugged my arms. How does all this... old Earth, the resurrection projects, the cybrids... how does it lead to creating the ultimate intelligence? I don't know, Braun. 8 standard centuries ago, at the beginning of the first information age, a man named Norbert Wiener wrote, "Can God play a significant game with his own creature? Can any creator, even a limited one, play a significant game with his own creature?" Humanity dealt with this inconclusively with their early AIs. The core wrestles with it in the resurrection projects. Perhaps the UI program has been completed, and all of this remains a function of the ultimate creature creator, a personality whose motives are as far beyond the core's understanding as the core's are beyond humanity's. I started to move in the dark room, bumped a low table with my knee, and remained standing. None of which tells us who is trying to kill you, I said. No. Johnny rose and moved to the far wall. A match flared and he lighted a candle. Our shadows wavered on the walls and ceiling. Johnny came closer and softly gripped my upper arms. The soft light painted his curls and eyelashes copper and touched his high cheekbones and firm chin. "Why are you so tough?" he asked. I stared at him. His face was only inches from mine. We were the same height. "Let go," I said. Instead, he leaned forward and kissed me. His lips were soft and warm, and the kiss seemed to last for hours. "He's a machine," I thought. "Human, but a machine behind that." I closed my eyes. His soft hand touched my cheek, my neck, the back of my head. "Listen," I whispered when we broke apart for an instant. Johnny did not let me finish. He lifted me in his arms and carried me into the other room, the tall bed, the soft mattress and deep comforter. The candlelight from the other room flickered and danced as we undressed each other in a sudden urgency. We made love three times that night, each time responding to slow, sweet imperatives of touch and warmth and closeness and the escalating intensity of sensation. I remember looking down at him the second time. His eyes were closed, hair fell loosely across his forehead, the candlelight showing the flush across his pale chest, his surprisingly strong arms and hands rising to hold me in place. He had opened his eyes that second to look back at me, and I saw only the emotion and passion of that moment reflected there.